It is now 2:00. I think we're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Erin Holt, and I'm with the Tennessee Department of Health, and I have the pleasure today of moderating this session on kind of paving the road to getting to an informatics savvy health department. And with me, I have some fine folks from the great state of Washington. So we have Deborah Barra, who works with the Public Health Informatics Institute, actually with in Atlanta, Georgia. She currently oversees a support team supporting both domestic and global projects designed to build public health informatics capacity. Prior to joining the Institute, Deborah was an executive director for one of Florida's Healthy Start Coalition, which was a private-public partnership with a mission to improve health statuses for moms and babies. She received her undergrad degree from Stetson University in Florida and a master's from the University of South Florida. Also with us today, we have Kim Piper. She is an applied public health informatics fellow with, based in Washington, with the Washington Department of Health. And she's currently entering her second year, which was great. You guys were able to get a second year.
Me too.
Yep. She completed her MPH at Drexel University in June 2015. Her current projects include working to test and advance electronic case reporting, which is all kind of near and dear to our hearts currently, and the development and ongoing activities at the Washington Department of Health in regarding to informatics. And also with us today, we have Nicole Willis. Nicole Willis has over 12 years of local public health experience, which is pretty great. Over the last 3 years, she's worked as an EPI in the County Health Department in Bellingham, Washington, which is, I believe, the closest U.S. health department outside of Alaska. Nicole holds a BS degree in education from the University of Idaho and an MPH from the University of Washington. In any given week, she is supporting data and information needs that can be described as organized chaos, which I think we can all relate to, which is why she loves local public health and the bonds that are created there. She's a recent grad of the Informatics Training in Place Fellowship and is delighted that she can now refer to herself as an informatician. So now I'm going to go ahead and turn it over.
First, let me check the sound. Can everybody hear okay? Well, welcome. I'm very pleased that you were able to join us this afternoon. And I want to start with an acknowledgement. If anybody in the room, whether you have ever heard of this instrument or not, or this information, is a part of the Washington Department of Health System, state or local, or Minnesota, would you be so kind as to stand up so we can acknowledge your partnership? Yay! Thank you all. So we would not be having this conversation today if we didn't have an Oregon. Is anyone here from Oregon? Would you stand up? If we didn't have, thank you so much, the partnership with those agencies, we would not have this presentation or this talk. So I wanted to just start out right away by acknowledging that. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about capacity building in state and local health departments. And I'm going to do a short presentation really just to set the context for the more in-depth view that you'll get from our my colleagues here from Washington. But we'll talk a little bit about why assess informatics capacity building. And I will give you a heads up, that's going to be an audience participation activity. And what are the characteristics of informatics capability, how we might measure them, what a capability maturity model is, which is the methodology and the approach that we use for developing the public health, the informatics savvy public health department's self-assessment instrument, which they'll be talking more about, and a little bit about how the assessment was developed and how it's been used. So let's start with this question. Why assess informatics capability or informatics capacity? I would love it if anybody in the audience would be willing to come up and use the microphone and just say something about why are you here today? What's your interest in this particular topic? Any takers? Yay!
My name is Anusha. Shri Ramakrishnan. I'm from the Cook County Department of Public Health. So they have recently created an informatics position in our department. My position is the first informatics specialist position. So they would like to expand on this and then build their informatics capacity for our division. So that's our goal and that's why I'm here.
Great. Would anyone else be willing to make a comment along those lines?
Hi, my name is Misty Johnson.
A little closer.
I'm Misty Johnson. I'm a new informaticist at the state of Wisconsin, and I'm here to, learn more about informatics.
Great. I'm hoping you'll find something useful that you can take back with you. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Denise Kreisner with the Network for Public Health Law. I'm a public health attorney, and I'm interested especially in the issue of increasing capacity through sharing of services, because that's an area we work in as far as the legal issues.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Kai Tijusakistan. Last year I was an applied public health informatics fellow in the Kentucky Department of Public Health, but when I got there, they didn't have an informatics program, so I started an informatics work group, and I wanted to see what journey into how those steps worked and how I can go back and improve what I'm doing.
That's great, and I hope you'll get some information along those lines. So from a national level, my role today was to talk about what's happening nationally. And from a national level, some of the things that we hear are people are really interested in understanding more about how electronic health record systems, for example, can be used for epidemiology and surveillance purposes. That's pretty complicated. That's something that requires a tremendous amount of informatics capacity. There's also this public expectation for having almost real-time data for making decisions and responding to outbreaks and responding to emergency situations. And we just live in an information age where that kind of expectation is common. So many agencies are trying to become more sophisticated in their practices around informatics. And I think I'll go to my next slide, which is really to talk about, when we talk about informatics capacity, what does that actually mean? So this is the history part of how did this tool come into being. And it really started at the 2014 informatics conference. There were four people who were primarily contributing to the early work on this, and that's Dr. Martin LaVenture, who is with the Minnesota Department of Health, Bill Brand, who is with our offices at PHII, Wu Zhu, who is with Utah Department of Health, and Priya Rajamani. I had to ask before to help me pronounce her name because I can't remember it. So she is now with the University of Minnesota, but at the time was with the Minnesota Department of Health. And they were the ones who came up with this construct, and the way they approached unpacking what are the informatics capacity constructs was to take the 2009 informatics competencies that had been developed for individuals and translate those into organizational capacities. So I have to acknowledge also my colleague, Bryant Karras, who really led that effort of completing those 2009 informatics competencies, built on earlier work from a folk some of you might know, Patrick O'Carroll. And so what they did was take those and look at each individual one, and then they categorized them. And what you see here on this screen is how those individual competencies rolled up into organizational capacities. And we call this the informatics savvy framework. So they rolled up into these three broad categories: informatics vision and strategy, which really includes a lot of around governance, a skilled workforce, which is your workforce development piece, and then effectively designed and used information systems. So this slide talks a little bit about under those categories, those broad categories, what were some of the topics. So just for example, how the agency uses information and IT. One of the really major points that we'll make through this presentation is agencies that are interested in this work are people that see information as a strategic asset. Under the skilled workforce, it's were things like what kind of strategies are in place to improve informatics knowledge and skills? Do you have the policies that will help you with allowing people to grow and develop professionally? And under the well-designed and effectively used information systems, the really broad driver for that is, are you allowing programs to really weigh in on what the IT solutions need to look like? And are the IT solutions actually supporting the program work? So at the 2014 conference, there was a workshop. There were facilitated tabletop discussions. People responded to a set of questions that had been developed. And people were very responsive and positive to the concept. But some of the feedback we got was that there was a need for more rigor, a little bit more rigor around how the assessment was utilized. And they wanted more capability to measure progress. And so we were familiar at PHII with this construct of a capability maturity model. And that is something that was developed by Carnegie Mellon, the first one, Carnegie Mellon Software Institute. The first one was developed in 1993. The capability maturity model is actually a trademarked term by Carnegie Mellon. And we had conducted some work in Kenya to conduct an interoperability assessment and had developed one of these using this particular methodology. This is really the research base for this work. If you want to understand where does this come from, there's actually quite a bit of work that's been done now around research, but I'm not going to talk very much about that. Our focus today is applied, but just for those of you who are interested in it, it does exist. So I wanted to spend most of our time talking about the response categories because that'll set the context for you for the rest of the presentation. So we start from the bottom, level zero, and most capability maturity models have five progressive stages. We added the level zero at our first one in Kenya, and it was because sometimes there's not even a level of awareness of what we're talking about. So people are not familiar with the term informatics. People in Kenya were not familiar with the term interoperability, the people that we were assessing. So we put the level zero in there, which means there's absolutely no capability. There may be no evidence at all because people are not even familiar with it or aware of it. Level one is called initial in most capability models, and it means that really agencies, when we do this assessment, what we find is that agencies can sometimes point to an instance of something. Yes, we did that once. Or there is an individual person on their staff that has a great deal of expertise that people know about, and that becomes the go-to person for that particular thing. Lots of things happen at level one. Level two is that it's more widespread. It's known. Often, this is where you see tacit knowledge. So by word of mouth, people learn how to do something, and it's relatively common, but it may not be formal at all. It's not systematic, and typically there's nothing written there. There's not a set of policies and procedures. Most organizations, I have to say, my disclosure right now, many, many, even high-performing organizations have a lot of twos in their assessment because that's how they work. Level three is where you actually have a set of policies and procedures and something to guide that, and it's more systematic and standardized. Level four means you've got some mechanism to measure how well is that process working. So an example might be you've got data sharing agreements in place. Do you have a method of monitoring compliance to the data sharing agreements? Do you have a method to ensure people are receiving training about that topic? So that's where it's measured. And then level five is where you're using the information that's coming out of your level four work to improve the process. So that's the basic scale. The last slide I'm going to show you is just a sample page out of the assessment and describe a little bit about what it looks like. The assessment is a paper and pen administrated. It's designed to be administered as a paper and pen assessment. We recommend that you get people together in a room and you have a conversation about each one of these questions. So this question is an example. It'll ask you, have you completed an assessment intended to describe something, and then there will be some key concepts to explain the terminology for folks that maybe have not or are not familiar with it, and some discussion prompts. And you have a conversation and you reach consensus about where you are on that particular assessment, on that particular question. And I'm going to turn it now over to my co-presenters, who will tell you more about a lived experience utilizing this in Washington State at both the state and local health department.
Thank you. Just to let everyone know, we're going to save questions until the end.
Thank you. I think that's my last one.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, I'm Kim, and I'm a fellow at the Washington State Health Department. And just before I get started working with Deb at PHII, was absolutely awesome. So thank you so much for the prelude. So we used the assessment that PHII, or that Deb just explained, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in detail and how we used it. So the outcome of our work with this assessment was the Washington State Informatics Roadmap. The mission of the roadmap is to improve population health through timely and actionable information. And the roadmap is comprised of goals. So those are broad, long-term aims, defining the accomplishment of the mission, you guys can read. Objectives within those goals. And then at the most granular level here, actions within to achieve those objectives. The objectives are more realistic targets, whereas the goals are a little bit more overarching and less tangible. I do want to note that even at the most granular level of the roadmap, the action items that are listed could be an entire project, could be an entire multi-year project. So we're really covering a broad span with this roadmap. So this is a very broad overview of the timeline. So we start actually at the beginning is the formation of the informatics team, and that was in 2014, and Bryant Karras, who's sitting here, I think is the only human representative of that in the room. Part of their work was to complete an agency-wide environmental scan, which was really the foundation of the beginning of our work with PHII. So using that environmental scan, we partnered with PHII in the summer of 2015 completed the assessment across the agency. Deb helped us to understand the assessment, how to use it, how to administer it. At the completion of the assessment, that was the point to which Deb had experience, but she helped us to draft a roadmap, and then these last two boxes are actually an iterative process, which we'll go into a little bit more detail of. But we presented the roadmap, asked for feedback, presented again, and then our final, and it is a living document, our final roadmap was presented in January of 2016, so just early this year. So who did we assess? So we have six divisions at the State Health Department, and we had representation from each division, which was one of our goals. So we didn't have every single program area within each division. We did have each division represented. Like Deb said, ideally we did in-person assessments. That wasn't always possible, but the conversation that came with the assessment was really what we found to be the most valuable information. And then we also had input from three wonderful local health jurisdictions, one of which you'll hear from, both on her experience with this, with the development of the state informatics roadmap and her own implementation. So it's really cool that you guys get to hear that. So we have input across the agency and then also from our partners at local health jurisdictions. I'm sorry, and the assessment groups were usually groups of about 3 to 9 people, and we did ask for, and this is really important, we did ask for staff level up to management level representation, and that was very informative in making sure that we got to the right response for each question, and generated a lot of that really useful discussion. So this just a reminder of the three domains of the assessment, and this is kind of the framework of the outcome of the roadmap, but we will now go into the outcome of the assessment, of our assessment. And up here you'll see the score, a crude score, and it is truly a crude score. We took the majority response for each question and then averaged that within each domain. So you see up here that crude score for both the Department of Health and for Whatcom. It's not up there for comparison purposes. It's just up there for convenience purpose, together for convenience purposes. So in vision, strategy, and governance, we came in at about a 2. We have some organized efforts. It's not systematically documented or institutionalized. Some of the important comments that came out of the conversations in this domain were, first of all, a clarity on what informatics is. That wasn't necessarily clear all the way through the agency. Some program areas were further ahead than others, of course, but that was kind of the first hurdle. The second was siloed information. We heard that again and again by program area. We don't know necessarily the information that other program areas have or what they're looking for. A lack of coordinated efforts, some comments around historical frustration between IT and program areas, and then lastly that information governance came through as very important to prioritize and actually ended up becoming its own goal. So next we looked at, or the next domain that we'll look at is skilled workforce, and so we have actually a 1.5 as our crude score here, so didn't feel that we had organized systematic efforts to build or to build capacity, kind of individual interest and pursuit of development, developing professional informatics skills. So what we heard was that people wanted an organized approach to build informatics workforce, that isolated programs supported training, but that it was usually individually driven with the consent of leadership rather than actively promoted by leadership it was a bottom-up rather than top-down effort. And then our last section, or the last domain, well-designed and effectively used systems. So we're at about a 2 here, and the purpose of having these scores, of course, is so that we can hopefully go back and do this again, and we will have increased our capacity. Some of the important comments that we heard here was that there was a lack of or a perceived lack of processes in IT management, so kind of a lack of clarity as to whether it was a communication, whether it was that it wasn't there or just that people at the program level didn't have the understanding that they wanted of it. The perception of that there was an underutilized IT IT project management process, again, this was more so that people wanted to have a greater understanding of how that worked. So those are some of the comments that came out of that domain. So we did this assessment, came up with these results, talked to Deb, and then we held and that came up with the goals that we thought we should present to the people that had responded to the assessment to see what they, whether they thought that these goals aligned with the way that the agency needed to move forward in informatics. So we came up with this draft, and then we had an all-participant in-person meeting where we presented that draft, and then we requested feedback, and we did this in an interactive way. So we had people, we had the objectives that we had come up with, but we had people add or delete objectives, and then most importantly, prioritize the things that they felt were the most important, reword things, provide further detail or clarity around things that we would you know, don't do from day to day, but that they do. So we took that, made changes, and then held two webinars, and where we had a similar but less intensive process, presented the draft, requested feedback, made changes, and presented the draft, requested feedback, made changes. And in between these webinars, we also had individual conversations with participants that had particular interests in specific areas of the draft that we were working on, and we asked questions like who was responsible for a particular task that we had included in the roadmap, what type of timeline was there on that task so that we could have the appropriate date associated with that. And just to make sure that we captured the work appropriately. So what we ended up with was five goals within the three domains, those vision, strategy, and governance, skilled workforce, and well-designed and effectively used systems. So the first two that you see there are relate to the vision, strategy, and governance, and are in the are around managing and improving information governance and sharing and exchanging data. So that domain got split out into those two areas. Developing an informatics workforce, that remained its own goal. And then well-designed and effectively used system got split out into data and information management at DOH and how we turn data into information. So we'll actually go into some details of each goal and what each goal is. And the first goal, create an information governance framework that addresses multidisciplinary information management. And what I have here are some examples, not all of the objectives. If we went through the entire roadmap, we'd all be here for hours, and that would be horrible. So just a couple of example objectives. One of the objectives we have is to establish internal and external information governance processes, to establish clear standards, policies, rules, and practices related to privacy, confidentiality, ethics, and security, and to utilize collaborative agency decision making to support the use of agency tools. So we want to move away from that siloed program, single program needs approach to understanding what we need on more of an agency level and meeting those needs effectively. Our second goal is to improve efficiency of intra and inter-partner data exchange and the effective use of data. Some of the objectives included in this goal are to streamline and automate the flow of data in and out of agency information systems, establish our state HIE as the preferred method of transport to improve internal data exchange, and to look for opportunities to leverage MPI efforts. The notation I want to make here is that these span quite a time frame. So the roadmap that we ended up with is a three-year operational plan. So you'll notice that some of the things on here are things that we can actively do in the first year, whereas something like looking for opportunities to leverage MPI efforts isn't something that we necessarily can actively do right now, but it is kind of further out in our third year. But we want to keep that on the horizon actively. So it is included, and it's important that it's included. Our third goal, this one's very important to me because it keeps me employed, is to develop informatics-trained and or experienced leadership and workforce. So we talked a bit about how programs have individuals that that our training is mostly out of individual interest and support of that individual interest rather than an organized approach to developing an informatics workforce. We have three Shine Fellows supported at the state agency, which is awesome. I'm one of them, and the other two are also really cool. two of our objectives are to establish a workforce strategy describing the needed informatics capabilities and positions, and to provide training opportunities across the agency, so to have more of a top-down than individual interests driven approach. Our last goal is to enable and support the development of well-designed, maintained, and effectively used information systems, and this is the goal that has the most active actions ongoing right now. One of the major interests currently from our state health officer is to inventory information systems, inventory and understand our information systems, and come up with a vision for how we can better align the services, better align the systems, and share services within those systems. So to do that, we need some of the actions associated with that are to plan and budget for the maintenance of information systems, identify gaps in data collection, which will mean that we also need to really clearly understand the data that's collected. So that's kind of a preliminary task to that. Improve the ID governance process, so we'll see some overlap with goals here, and to develop enterprise-level architecture planning for common IT functions. I think there was an extra note that I wanted to say here. Nope. And our last goal, so this is number five, is to analyze and disseminate data and information in a timely, ethical, open, and transparent way. So we want to increase, one of our objectives is to increase the availability of record-level data to partners like our local health departments, to improve the efficiency of routine descriptive and trend analysis for both internal agency use and externally, and manage information and report needs from the DOH programs, but also from our partners. So we want to make sure that we are answering questions and providing the services to our partners that are meaningful to them, not just the things that we are capable of doing. So really having a conversation based approach to that, not just a this is what we can offer, but really to understand how the information that we provide is being used, and that it's meeting the needs of our partners. So my last slide here is, you're not supposed to to read this in detail, but it includes some of the objectives that we just reviewed and the tasks that are within those objectives. So this is a three-year roadmap that we created, and really just want to show that the tasks that are included in this span the 3 years, and that it's overlapping work, and that it's not, the tasks are projects, not just single tasks. So inventory information systems, you see at the top of year one, that is an entire project in itself, followed by several other projects. So it's quite expansive, but pretty comprehensive. And I think with that, I'm going to turn it over to Nicole, and she can tell you about her experience being involved in this process.
Uh, So I'm Nicole Willis. I'm an epidemiologist at the Whatcom County Health Department, where I've worked for the last 11 years. I started as a health educator there, and about 3 years ago switched to epidemiology. My agency has a staff of about 80 people. Our county council serves as a board of health, which is often some a challenge and an opportunity. I'm one of two epidemiologists in the agency, which is possibly a contributing factor to wanting to build our informatics capabilities. Just to give you a snapshot of Whatcom County, we are a border, coastal, and mountain community situated right between halfway point between Seattle and Vancouver, Canada. Our county is known for abundance of outdoor activities, our berries, and our breweries. Population is about 200,000 people. Our largest town, Bellingham, has about 80,000 folks. We have seven smaller towns and a lot of folks living in unincorporated rural parts of the county. So we kind of have a small urban with a rural characteristics that's really unique and allows for some fun projects that we work on. Lummi Nation and Nooksack Tribe are our two federally recognized tribes who have been stewards of the land for generations. We have four colleges, Western Washington, Northwest Indian College, Whatcom Community College, and Bellingham Technical College, adding to kind of a rich, educated community, a very problem-solving community. In our last health assessment, Camille's improvement planning process, just to give you an idea of where we're focusing some of our energy on, we've identified early childhood development, healthy places, behavioral health and substance abuse, food insecurity, and homelessness as areas where collective action is needed. I bring these up because these can kind of help drive prioritization of information needs. So that's kind of Whatcom County, a little snapshot. For my portion of the panel, I'm really going to focus on sharing our experiences and the tools that are assisting us in becoming, I guess I could have gone to my slide, that are the tools that are assisting us in becoming an informatics savvy health department. There's been in this last year several key milestones throughout that we've been working on that I'll go over into detail. And the first one is really, why did we start doing this? But before I do that, anybody from local public health, city or county, you want to raise your hand? Okay. So one of the challenges of giving kind of this going is figuring out your starting point. So at any time, if you see information that you want, please come up and grab my card afterward, because it is a challenge to figure out where to begin. It can be a little overwhelming. I feel pretty fortunate that I had the state health department as a resource to me pretty quickly early on. And if you don't have that, there are tools, but it's hard to navigate a starting point. So please come up afterwards. We created a logic model that is really helpful in just communicating and getting going. So I'm happy to share anything you see. Okay, so why would we do this and why would we get started? Back in early 2015, we had a couple processes that created a real sense of urgency around the needs for informatics. Data needs and information management came up throughout the agency's strategic planning process, and then later during accreditation prep, community health improvement planning, CHIP work, and then internally focused needs during performance management. So while the agency staff identified the need was urgent, the question still remained, how do we meet the data and information management needs of staff and community partners? So myself and my manager were more or less assigned to meet the data and information management needs of staff and community partners. Of course, we knew that this was no easy task, and it was really important. We needed to figure it out, but we really needed to figure it out and get it right the first time. With all of these processes that had been more or less not started the right way and causing a little fatigue of staff, this time we needed to kind of get it right, so we took our time. And what we ended up doing is we started with research. Pretty quickly came across some really nice articles
titled Building an Informatics Savvy Health Department, Part 1 and 2. This was written by Marty LaVenture, Bill Brand, Dave Ross, and Ed Baker. So these articles articulated our urgent situation really better than we could. It had advice on how to address our needs and even where to start. I still use these articles for any new staff that we're adding to the informatics project or explaining to community partners or even regional partners that are expressing, we kind of are in a five-county region where we talk about sharing services, and there is an interest in informatics with sharing services. So after doing some research, we shared these articles with our director and medical officer and really identified that the Informatics Savvy Health Department framework was really going to fit our wide spectrum of need. The only challenge was, short of these articles, many of us had never heard of the term informatics. And as an agency, we were really slim in the kind of the skilled workforce area. This led us into a deeper dive into resources provided by PHII, and then eventually to Project SHINE's Informatics Training in Place program. ITIP was particularly appealing for me and my agency because it was designed for local and state health department staff wanting a more formal public health informatics training, but still had the flexibility for us to stay in our jobs that we feel very passionately about and are committed to. Last year, with the support of my agency, I applied for ITIP, outlined a fellowship and agency project that we thought would help us become more informatics savvy. And in July of last year, found out I was selected to participate. So off I went to Atlanta in August and came back from orientation full of ideas and new tools and a new network of wonderful people to learn from. I shared some of the resources with staff, and this model continues to consistently be a fan favorite. I think folks, it's called the Information Value Cycle. It was referred to as a mental model. I think folks really like this model because they can identify themselves in it, which is really important when you're introducing a new concept. So informatics requires so many different types of staff at all levels of data entry, data analysis, data use, dissemination. And until they really see themselves, it's hard for them to figure out how they all fit together. So we use this one along with the articles a lot to kind of help us stay grounded in what the focus is. So if building our informatics capabilities was the task at hand, creating an agency that valued information became our mission. So we had a task and a mission, but as I showed in a previous slide, we also had a hard year, and we had gone through a lot of cross-divisional projects that had caused some pretty severe planning and process fatigue around staff. So we knew we needed to be thoughtful in forming an informatics team, which to us was important to go beyond just the one or two staff that were working on informatics, but start pulling some more experts into the group. Past experiences working with community and health policy and health education has really helped to teach me that you cannot move a project faster than the group's collective understanding. So if we were going to get this right, we had to increase the collective understanding of informatics. So we put a lot of emphasis on supporting our informatics team development. One of my fellowship mentors, Tao Quan Get, who was the director of the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice, which is an incredible resource, not just for the Western states that it supports, but there's free online trainings for many topics of public health that I think folks would find really useful. Tao introduced me. Well, first he said something great, which he said, it's never been my experience that we are local or state or any public health agency is in a steady state. And so that there is always chaos going on, and that there might never be a good opportunity to do this. But if you've identified a need,
you need to figure out how to address that need, especially if it's going to improve sort of your core functions as a health department. So Tao introduced me to some change management and learning organization theories. One of the, or two of the best ones that we kind of came across was John Cotter's 8 Steps to Leading Change and Peter Senge's The Fifth Discipline, The Art and Practice of a Learning Organization. I'm just going to show. So this is Peter Senge's Becoming a Learning Organization. And I bring this up because very seldom do we take a time out to figure out how we're going to utilize, add value to a committee. We throw a committee together, we have a team, but we don't really think about how that team should function. And so because of this burnout that had happened and maybe a little distrust of being asked to be on a team, we knew we had to pull in some theory that would really help kind of bring the team together. So we found that this one worked best for us. It's a great book. There's workbooks that goes along with this theory, and there's even saved webinar through the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice that highlights this. So during sort of this team development time, a window of opportunity presented itself in the form of the Washington State Department of Health. And their efforts were really ramping up at the time, as Kim has really nicely outlined. And Whatcom County was invited to participate in the planning of their informatics roadmap project. So this just the invitation alone added a level of credibility to the project that we were about to start, which sounds simple enough, but it's huge when you're thinking about change leadership and helping leaders understand why we need to continue this work. And then in October, at the Washington State Public Health Conference, the Washington State Secretary of Health, John Weissman, said the word informatics in a speech. And now, that might be a small statement, but to us it meant that the work our team was about to begin in some way had the support of the Secretary of Health, and that couldn't hurt the project. So what ended up happening in this team development is we had an 8-person team, reps from each division. We have human services, environmental health, communicable disease, and admin. And most of the folks were either entry-level or mid-level positions. So forming the team, we got the team together, and then our first task as a team was to take the informatics savvy self-assessment tool. And it's a wonderful tool. And to be honest, the team had a really hard time answering some of the questions. But as Des had described, the tool is really a conversation starter. And by the end of the assessment, we took it all together. They were sharing some rich information about their experiences within our agency's challenges. The team also started to identify that there were certain strategies we scored a 3 on. And so what ended up happening, we realized, is that, yes, we had some work to be done, but we were actually doing informatics work. We just didn't know it was called that. And that was a pretty kind of confidence builder. We weren't starting just at ground zero. We were doing some of the work. We just didn't know we were doing it. So as Kim shared, we were a solid 1 for every domain, which wasn't surprising because we were kind of just getting started. But there's a term used in the tool of level 1, and it states, no organized, systematic efforts to build informatics capacity, only ad hoc efforts and isolated and individual heroics. So it's that little last part that says individual heroics that really stuck with the team, and we keep referencing that throughout this last year, is that you are starting from scratch, but you're doing the right work, and you're really moving your agency forward, and that is heroic. So our team really kind of used that. If we could get shirts, we would probably put that on a t-shirt. So over the course of the year, we really focused in, based on the results of the assessment that we did in October, on informatics, vision, strategy, and governance in a skilled workforce. We identified that staff, it wasn't just workforce informatics skills that we were needing, but even just assessment and analytical skills. So we developed a competency-based learning plan, team learning plan, which is one of the theories from the Becoming a Learning Organization. We utilize online trainings from the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice and the Public Health Informatics Institute, and together completed 7 trainings. So part of bringing the team together was that we were trying to attempt to not have the team have to put any extra effort, that they could show up and participate in something, but a lot of the work would be done on my end or on my manager's end, but that they could self-select how they wanted to participate. Because the trainings were online and free, staff could either participate in a group learning session or complete the training on their own. What we ended up finding is that, so these are just the online training tools that the Northwest Center have, are kind of someone talks to you and there's handouts and you kind of answer some quiz questions. So you can easily do them on your own, but the team really liked to do them collectively, and so we would watch them together, which again supports that team learning concept, is that people like to learn together, and we would have conversations during the trainings to kind of address any issues. We talk about informatics during some of these real basic data assessment trainings. But even though folks could self-select, which I think if it had been a self-select for accreditation trainings, people might not have shown up, but every staff member of the team completed all of the trainings that had been offered. So we decided that because we kind of knew what the state was doing with a lot of their systems improvements, and in Washington State, our state health department administers majority of our surveillance systems and the population health query systems for, especially for local smaller health departments, we use those systems routinely. So we knew we didn't have to do a ton of work in the design, but the assessment showed that there was a real general lack of awareness of the state systems and perceived barriers to accessing the information that was available, so that they could easily get this information, but they just didn't know that it was available. This kind of became like you have some project aha moments, and this was a project aha moment. So if you're trying to meet the data and information needs of staff, and they just identified that they need more training on how to use information, and they also are not aware of existing sources of data and information available to them, then you need to slow down and figure out how you're going to address that. If the goal of informatics is to improve the way that we use data and use data to drive decisions in order to improve population health, and your staff is telling you don't know how to use the data or access the information, then you're going to have to go all in and figure out how to address that. We had a lot of grand plans on how we were going to work on governance, but we decided to push out those deadlines and really hone in on the workforce development. And I guess I would also add that this lack of awareness just further strengthened our commitment to wanting to be aware of what the Washington State Department of Health's informatics roadmap project was going to be working on, because then we would know if updates were happening. So it just furthered that commitment. Okay, so we ended up doing staff trainings, and where are we headed now? It's been about 9 months. What we're hoping is that taking the risk and focusing mostly on the workforce domain will have a positive impact on beginning to address the other two capability areas. Washington State improvements are starting to roll out, and several members of our informatics team felt confident enough to serve on advisory or volunteered Whatcom County to pilot some of these new systems, which is a big deal. In the past, we don't always volunteer ourselves, but the team members felt confident enough that they could have something of value to add to these state processes. The next step of informatics team's trainings will be focused on looking at business processes and utilizing the collaborative requirements development methodology, which is a wonderful tool that provides a process for documenting public health workflows and defining functional requirements for information systems that support those workflows. So the goal is to train the team, and then we will start identifying these are some of our agency's core business processes and workflows. I'm just going to show you really quick what we're thinking. We're planning to, in terms of business process analysis and collaborative requirements development methodology, there are really great existing tools out there that we can tap into and align a lot of our efforts with. A lot of work has already been done that is applicable to the local public health departments. So our plan in Washington State, we have a push to start looking at Washington foundational public health services and capabilities. And we plan to try to align our core business processes with the report that the state has put out, and then also looking at the Informatics Institute's information model, which has identified through their work, I'm not sure how many years, but
over a decade,
of working with state, local, and national public health agencies have identified kind of already a core set of business processes. I don't know if it's fortunately or unfortunately, but it's already time for CHOCHIP 2.0 for our agency. We're applying informatics problem-solving approaches to this work. We're planning to create a context diagram that helps visually see how community health assessments are supposed to flow. Informatics, one of our informatics team members, Amy Hockenberry, who got her MPH right here at the University of Alaska, has been selected to participate in ITIP this next year. Amy's going to be focusing on behavioral health and substance abuse surveillance, and this was going to allow her to hone in really on improving or designing an information system, but also continue the work that started this last year. We're planning to put together an informatics work plan. We have a team charter, which is always a really good place to start, but I think our agency would benefit from having some better defined deadlines, and we are definitely planning to borrow and align activities that have already been identified as focus areas at the Washington State Department of Health. Because of the success of some of the informatics team staff trainings, we have decided to go ahead and take that to all of our staff. And so we're going to, it was great, I had every time we would do one of the trainings, we would ask ourselves, is this going to be a necessary tool or help the skills of our general staff? And so we've kind of ranked which ones we think are the best ones to share with our all staff. So we're planning to do a series of trainings and also something we call a Washington State Data Tour Workshop, which helps increase the awareness of the surveillance systems and population health data query systems that staff think they don't have access to, but do have access to. They just could use some coaching. And so we're going to plan to do a series to help folks understand. Sometimes it's as simple as not having a login, and so we're hoping to address some of those issues. And one of the great, I think, achievements for this last year is that informatics work now has a home at the Whatcom County Health Department. We have recently formed a new division called the Health Information and Assessment Division. This includes an EPI staff, and I'm saying staff because usually when I say EPI, Emergency Preparedness, CHOCHIP, QI, Performance Management, Accreditation, those are all one person. So each of them, it's a program of one. And some, accreditation, QI, and performance management is the person of, it's three tasks, but one person. So we've pulled all, we call ourselves kind of the misfits, but we're all under this new division. And informatics, all of those staff are participating in the informatics team, and so they already have like a sense of understanding how potentially this business process that we're about to begin can kind of benefit the division development, and so we'll be moving forward together with that. Let's see. So about 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to do that, so we, about 2 weeks ago, we did the, the informatics team took the self-assessment again. And I really wanted to do that before coming here to see if we had made any improvements. And sure enough, we really didn't feel like we did a ton. I mean, we were really focusing on informatics trainings, workforce development, and talking about informatics, and sharing some of what we're learning with our supervisors and managers of the agency. But we really did improve. We went from a level one to a level two. And I wish I had taken video of us completing the assessment in October and then again in June, because what you would see is this small, heroic group of individuals who went from being really unaware, maybe even a little embarrassed in their ability to answer the questions, to this confident, proud, giggly, it was so funny, group who had confidence in answering the questions. They could kind of work through it. It took us twice as long to do it the second time around because they knew what the questions were asking. They knew that we had made advancements in certain areas. And I think what they did is they realized that there's still a lot of work to be done, but their efforts have begun creating an agency-wide culture where information is valued. And so that's kind of the biggest, I think that's the biggest achievement that we have seen with our work with using the tool, is that it helps bring value to the agency. And our hope is that this process, we're going to move forward with governance, we're going to move forward with better design systems, and continue workforce development. I think, do you want to do it sitting down?
I think we could. Can we use this microphone?
Absolutely. So I think before we go to questions, we're just going to, each of us have a couple takeaways to share, and then we can go to questions, and we're hoping we have plenty of time for questions. Yeah. Okay, good. That's what we were hoping. Okay.
So just collectively, we'll talk about some takeaways. The first one, yeah, can you hear me? The first one that I'd like to share is, and great transition from your ending. So we want to encourage anybody who uses the tool to approach it as a way to determine what you are going to do next, which I think you could glean from Nicole's and our experience with the skilled workforce being a focus there, and up kind of veering more towards systems first, but also with the very strong caveat that you're not going to start at level scale, and I thought that it was going to be higher, but you're not going to start at a 3, it's not that type of thing if you're really truly answering accurately and to in a way that you're identifying what you can do to build. Don't be discouraged by that, I think is the takeaway there.
A couple of takeaways for me was that while the assessment and the scores are valuable, it was really the conversation where the value lied. And I kept hearing this term over and over again throughout this last year, that it takes people to change systems. And so you really need to honor that, and you need to work with your staff and continually have check-in moments to make sure that we're moving forward. And it takes real commitment to do this work. It's as it says, it's a heroic effort, but it needs to be sustained. And I think this process of state and local alignment has worked so far for us, locally being a small health department, when you're a program of one or a program of two and you're trying to, so you're getting started, and you're trying to carry this forward, when you have state support, it gives you that credibility, and we have benefited from that. And sometimes leadership needs that tip of saying, well, the state is doing this, and so I think we'd like to continue participating in that, and we're committed to doing this.
My observations are more broad across the many agencies that we've had the opportunity to work with in the last couple of years. And one of them was touched on around the conversation being the most important thing and not the score. And we think that that's true. But one of the things that we have heard from almost everybody who used it was that the tool itself, because it's not very technical, it really makes the concepts of informatics much more accessible to the minds of people that are serving in program areas or in leadership roles. And it really has helped people, those conversations have helped people understand and unpack that terminology, informatics, and understand, it was reflected in your conversations, Nicole, that people are already doing informatics, but they don't recognize it. And the second thing was that the agencies that have made the commitment to undertake this work are agencies that, it's almost, what it seems like to me is almost when we go in the door, they already understand that information is a strategic asset. And they are looking to build the capability from the perspective of knowing the value of information and wanting to be able to improve it. So there's a piece of it that's around, that's just a commonality, but there's another piece of the takeaways around the agencies have to know what's their driver. Why are you going to undertake this work? Because what we say is, this is not for sissies. Informatics is not for sissies. And really trying to instantiate informatics practice throughout your agency is quite an undertaking. What we keep hearing, though, is the people that are doing that see real value in it. So with that, I think we're open for questions. If there are any, we invite you to come up to the
I started my informatics position in January of 2015. When I was hired for the position, I had huge dreams, thinking that I would develop applications like for online applications, and then I would develop applications where people can record some things on their cell phone about vaccination. So I had so many dreams, but reality was, you know, we were nowhere. So we were really struggling to, you know, identify where we are. So, you know, this presentation of yours was really great, and it served as a great guide for me. And I would definitely use this to take home all these lessons. And we recently applied for the IT fellowship too, but we couldn't get the fellowship. Probably we were not, you know, we didn't design our projects, you know, to address the informatics needs. So I think we need some inputs on that too. So it's an excellent presentation and great inputs from you all. Thank you so much.
I just want to make a note that the tool is actually available for free on the phii.org website. You can download it. There's a facilitator's guide. It does ask you to fill out a form. And that's just because we're trying to get some metrics to report back to CDC at the end of our cooperative agreement on the use of the tool. And if you have any difficulty with that, just email anybody at PHII and they can help you get it.
So I was jotting down some questions as you guys were going through. I think the first question I would ask is, both of you guys in Washington mentioned having representatives from different programs or divisions or whatnot. Did that include IT?
Did that include IT, and
is IT included in the pool of people, I guess, eligible to receive the informatics training?
So our health department is housed within the county government. So we have county government IT, kind of, they do their own thing and come and help us every once in a while. And then we have a program person of one who is our IT database specialist, and he is a part of the informatics team. Pretty critical part because he does a lot of in-house design of a lot of our environmental health system surveillance. And he's the only one that needs to be trained, but he has been participating in our training. Yours is a little more complicated.
Relatively straightforward, just different structure. So IT is one of our divisions, and yes, they completed the assessment, and then kind of, as I mentioned, the systems architecture is of high focus right now. So our enterprise architect is currently kind of very actively engaged in the current work of the roadmap. So yeah. And then the training question. Brian, I'm gonna kick that one. I don't tell people to get trained.
Thanks for throwing me. Brian Karras, Washington State Department. So one of the things that the training, even before the roadmap work started, we partnered with, we've been partnering with PHII since before PHII existed, and looking for opportunities and always pointing people, including our business analysts within the agency, towards the frameworks that are outlined in their online trainings. But we also have been partnering with universities in our region, one of whom offered, as part of the stimulus work, a certificate in informatics. We had 40 of our IT staff within the agency go through an informatics certificate that we had them customized to a public health event. It's Bellingham College. Bellevue College. I think that finding those additional opportunities, actually, we turned to PHII has put together a catalog of different trainings that we're actually planning on checking off one of the activities on our roadmap, which is to distribute to DOH staff training opportunities that they can engage in over the next year. We'll be checking that one off pretty quickly by sharing with them the trainings that have been aggregated by our partners.
Thanks, Brian.
I have one more question. So for any health department and county departments, the first question that comes to your mind is budget. So they initially think of planning projects that doesn't involve IT and application development, because they think it's resource intensive. So how do we get to such trainings that are, you know, free, and, you know, we need some direction towards that?
So we didn't really have a designated budget, so I think we can provide some tips. I would say that the ITIP program provided some, you know, intense training, so I could have a better understanding of moving some projects forward. But just the basic kind of data analysis skills that the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice has, they have a huge library of online training that is open to anybody. You just have to create a login for that. And I forget what they're referred to, but they essentially are the regional hub for public health professional trainings for the northwestern states, I guess you could say. So they're an excellent resource. They haven't added informatics specifically yet, but they're looking into it. Truly the resources from the Public Health Informatics Institute's Academy that has just been revamped There's a handful that cost money that are, I've taken one of the, it's called the 8 steps to IT life cycle, which is kind of goes in the weeds of that when you're having, when you're improving an actual surveillance system or system improvements, these are the good steps to take. That one costs money and it's worth it, it's a good training. But then the other ones, that the free options are very good. And then there's a handful of guides and toolkits available on PHII's website that are free to you and like for decades have been developed and so have kind of gone through some updating and are really useful.
Additional information that I would like to add is that Carnegie Mellon University, they offer a free online course on health information technology. So it's specifically geared towards health information systems, and I am currently taking that course. It's a very intensive course, it has about 37 to 40 modules. So it also has quiz and exercises to take with each module. So it talks about life cycle of IT development and talks about Mediclaim, Medicaid, so all this. It's an entire integration of health systems and IT. So it's very useful. Thank you.
I just wanted to add one thing about the training for PHII. The training is designed to be cost effective, and there's two options. One is that sometimes when people are applying for grants where there's an informatics piece of it, they will include some money for training the people that are going to work on a particular project or training in the grant. And you can reach out to our Informatics Academy staff to find out the cost. We provide discounts for groups to be able to do that. And the other thing is we write in our own grant subscription basis. So we will work with groups of people that we're working with and include a subscription price in there for a certain number of individuals to be able to participate in our training programs. So an upcoming opportunity is at the PHI conference in August in Atlanta. There's a one-day workshop that's around building informatics capacity. And we're anticipating that people that participate in that workshop would be able to stay together to learn throughout the year from August until like the next June or July. And some of those courses will be available through subscription to that. So we try to build those kind of opportunities in to our work as well. You can call PHII's Informatics Academy Director. Information is online and talk with her about training needs for your agency if something like that would be useful.
I actually wanted to go back to answer a question that Kim probably didn't want to answer when you asked about budgets. I think one of the opportunities that we've taken advantage of, and I encourage all of you to work with your state Medicaid programs to do the same, is to leverage money and resources that are allocated through the HITECH Act, or the stimulus bill, which allow burden for administration and meaningful use and some of the interoperability work that needs to be done with a 90-10 match. So you need to come up with 10% of investment, and they provide the 90% matching. Quite extraordinary, and we've succeeded in getting, we had a general fund state position retire, and we turned that one FTE worth of position into 9 employees scattered throughout the agency working on informatics and interoperability and onboarding. So that's done a tremendous to expand our workforce. But we also included in that budgetary request to CMS training dollars to provide training opportunities and certification in some of the tools that those individuals need to use. So it's definitely doable. Even when a budget may not exist, if you can find that 10%, you can turn it into a lot.
So at Tennessee, not too long ago, a couple of years ago, we started working on trying to implement the implement a more informatics savvy organization. We took a little bit different approach, but I think we're obviously going to be revisiting. One of the things that we encountered was a lot of resistance, kind of scattered all throughout the department and at all different levels. And so I was just curious if maybe you guys could talk about some of the resistance that you met and how you overcame it.
I shared all these processes that our agency had just gone through, like strategic planning, accreditation, and performance management, and all of those bring out a lot of emotions of people. I think folks are hesitant to change in general, and then there's this additional threat that folks start to feeling about if my information and my program is shared, then maybe there's going to be a performance backlash or program cuts or, just these ideas start kind of fueling, and I think because that had happened in those last processes and caused kind of fatigue and frustration among staff, that's really why we went with the emphasis of let's take some time to think about organization change and change management and becoming a learning organization. Because, like I stated before, we seldom think about those things. We pull committees together and teams commit together without thinking about what theory we're following for team development or team processes or even adult education. And most committees, when you pull them together, they either are resistant to contributing to the project or the project just kind of fails on itself. So those change management, organization change, I'm 10 months in, so far so good, but I think it's really helping us at the local level address those issues kind of pre-planning. So we haven't dived in into governance yet, but I'm hoping that because we put such a heavy emphasis in thinking about how the team functions and rolling things out, that there will be less of that resistance, but we will see. Maybe I'll present next year on it.
That's a really good question. So from my perspective, there wasn't initial resistance, but within kind of the actual assessment, I would say that people are defensive of their program areas and divisions and what they do and how they do them, what things they do and how they do them. And I think one of the things that helped us a lot and maybe helped me, and it was probably also good that I was new and completely leveraged the, I need to learn about the agency approach, but asking really naive questions. So when you have staff level and management level in the room, I have a couple instances where it was really helpful to say, to really break things down and say, but how exactly do you do that? Walk me through the exact process of using this system and then asking questions off of that, so it's not so much an attack on why are you doing this way, but tell me how you are doing it. A little bit of a ignorance is helpful there. Do you have any to add?
So when we work with agencies, we always do an after-action review, and one of the pieces of information that is floated to the top is that who does the ask is important. So you have to have somebody who's credible within the organization asking for groups of folks to get together and work, and both of these organizations had credible people and drivers behind the request to come and be on a committee. The other thing is I was really happy to hear you say change management, because we keep saying that over and over again, learn about change management. One of the concepts in change management is called contestability. That arises in organizations that have had many failed efforts, where people are just almost jaded, or they're so skeptical about anything happening. So you go to meetings and all this stuff happens, and people shake their head whenever we bring it up. That is a construct that is not uncommon in agencies, and something that if you go and study about change management and get somebody in your organization familiar with those kinds of issues that you have a plan. You have to actually be intentional about planning. How are we going to overcome that? Do we have it? Do we not? You need to do assessments, and you did it very well. I was glad to hear that you had it included in your presentation.
So we have a few more minutes left if there's no other questions. It doesn't look like people are fighting over the microphone. I guess we could go ahead and wrap it up unless anyone has any last words. Well, thank you, everyone. Thank you for the attendance and the interest, and thank you to our panelists.